You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to Table Talk, a guide to the future of food and nutrition, brought to you by Food Matters. And this episode has been made in association with Evergrain. In these podcasts, we chat with visionaries from across the food industry to discover the ideas that will transform our food landscape. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, TV presenter, and I'm a gastronaut. Today, we're looking at the next chapter in a story that's been unfolding for the whole of human history. Thousands and thousands of years ago, cooking and eating grains drove the growth of the human brain. Later, grains gave us agriculture, changing the planet and creating civilization. And a leading character all the way through this story has been barley, one of the first grains to be domesticated. Fast forward to today, barley's a major player across the global food industry. New uses being found for an ingredient with fibre and protein in one natural package. But along with that global spread have come questions about sustainability, barley's often large carbon and water footprint. So what will the next chapter hold? I'm joined by three people to discuss barley's place in the modern food landscape. Greg Belt, CEO at Evergrain Ingredients. Hello there, Greg.
Hello, Stefan. Thanks for having me.
That's a great pleasure. Jerek Theo Lovi, co-founder and CEO at Take Two Foods.
Hi, Stefan. Great to be here.
Great to have you too. And Professor Elke Arendt from University College in Cork. Hello there, Elke.
Thank you very much. Hello, Stefan.
Well, welcome to all of you. Now, I mentioned that sort of sweeping history and haven't even mentioned beer yet, but I have a feeling that it'll work its way into the chat before too long. Now, Jerek, can I start with you? Can you tell us what Take Two Foods is about and how your love affair with barley comes into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Take Two is a food and beverage company that is championing the upcycling movement by tackling the billions of pounds of spent grain that are wasted every year and transforming it into great tasting, better for you plant-based products such as barley milk. And, you know, for me, I mean, you touched on a lot of points in the opening, but barley is an ancient grain. It's been cultivated for tens of thousands of years, and it's been celebrated across the globe by, you know, various cultures, used by the Roman gladiators. It's used as a flour for Tibetan monks, tsampa, traditional bread in Tibet. So it has this really beautiful place, and cultures across the globe use in teas and soups and breads and, as you mentioned, beer. It just lends itself to so much. You know, for me, what's so exciting is not only its versatility, but also, interestingly enough, its nutrition profile. I think as it applies to, you know, modern culture today, it has this really unique property. It has these really unique prebiotic fibers in it that are actually not found in many plant ingredients. And the levels that they're found in barley are actually far superior than most other plant ingredients that contain prebiotics. I think it just offers so much from both a versatility perspective, from a flavor perspective, and then also from a nutrition perspective.
And it's an interesting moment in time, really, isn't it? Because a lot of us, I think, are rediscovering ancient grains. Now, there are loads of plant-based options coming to the market, and the growth is astonishing, really. Where do you still see opportunities, and what problems are not currently being solved?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, plant-based products haven't necessarily performed the way that traditional animal-based products have. So when you think about a plant-based meat patty, only up until recently with, you know, the advent of the Impossible Burger or the Beyond Burger, have we started to see this sort of mainstream consumer trickle in eating a plant-based burger, simply because the flavor, the nutrition profile, the versatility, the functionality, it wasn't there. But I think we're seeing the same thing happen on the plant-based dairy side that we're seeing happen in plant-based meat, which is suddenly the flavor, suddenly the functionality, the creaminess, the foamability of a milk, let's say, the nutrition profile, you know, more protein, more holistic nutrition. It's offering consumers what they're looking for that they haven't been able to find in plant-based yet. And I think just the thing that's holding that all and sort of the halo of it all is the sustainability piece. I mean, we can't just ignore the reality that the production of milk is remarkably unsustainable. Mm. And so there's something that we have to do. These plant-based products are offering a solution to some of the big challenges that we're facing with the climate and to the environment. So I think it's a really exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so a question for Greg and Elke, really, for both of you. What prompted the realization that we can do more with barley? And how does this fit in to the work you already do? But Greg, if you could start.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic story, Stefan. It originates a long time ago, back to 2013. It was a realization of, barley basically going into a brewery. The brewers do an amazing job solubilizing the starch, and that goes on to fermentation. But what's left over, the industry calls spent grain. But that spent grain is a misnomer. It's a great source of protein and fiber. And we were collaborating on almost a different project. And we talked about this idea of capturing, what some people, call leftovers or leftover nutrients. But, what we considered, what Elk and I considered an amazing source of nutrition. And so it was really the combination of that collaboration and that discussion. And really Elka's inspiration, Elka gave the confidence, being one of the most brilliant food scientists in the world, right? She believed in, this idea that we can essentially upcycle and capture these great nutrients and give those nutrients directly to the consumer. So it's really kind of started from that collaboration.
So Elke, can you tell us a little bit more about your work and why this led you to potter around and play with the ideas of what you can do with barley?
Yeah, I've been working in cereal science for the last 25 years, both on the cereal but also on the brewing end of things, very much focusing on providing nutrition, not just from a sustainability point of view, but also when we look at all the non-communicable diseases like diabetes, being overweight, how can we tackle this? By the time I met Greg, we had been just working on ways to produce plant-based ingredients from all kinds of sources to actually close what's called the fiber gap. Everybody knows fiber is absolutely brilliant for you, but nobody wants to eat it. And only 25% of the population in the developed world gets enough fiber. So we were looking at fiber ingredients, how can we get them? And I had a very long-standing collaboration with Anheuser-Busch at the time, but mainly working on creating specialty beers or using kind of what's called adjuncts, other grains to produce beer. And we had just finished a mapping exercise where we just look what goes into the brewing process and what comes out of the other side, and also nutritionally characterizing those in detail. When we did this and we looked at the spent grain and its composition, when you think about it, this particular raw material has already over 30% protein and over 50% fiber without doing anything to it. And all the other ingredients we were looking at in these EU projects, the composition wasn't half as good as the one of spent grain. And the actual collaboration started as all Irish good ideas start in a pub, in my favorite pub in Cork. It's called The Corner House. We had a pint together and I happened to sit next to this very charming American man, Greg, who was telling me that he was marketing byproducts of the brewing process, going from yeast to brewer spent grain. And I was telling him about my frustration that the brewing industry is not using this very nutritious ingredient as a potential ingredient for products. And sustainability is important. Everybody talks about protein sustainability. Very few people talk about the fiber gap and how important fiber is. And this particular set of ingredients give it all. And that is a very, very unique property of the ingredients which have been generated by Evergreen. It has fiber, and as Jarek said, it's not just any fiber. They're very specific fiber. If we go back, you were talking very nicely earlier about the history of barley. Barley and oats are very often named in combination because both of them are very high in certain fibers. And one of those fibers which you naturally find in which is called beta-glucan. And this fiber was the first fiber in the cereal which had gotten EFSA approval for a claim, an actual health claim. So if you take in that case, 3 grams of beta-glucan a day, you can significantly reduce your cholesterol. So, you know, it has a positive impact on heart disease, and we know it's the biggest killer in the developed world. So this grain naturally contains this. Okay, during the brewing process, we degrade the actual beta-glucan, but a new fiber has emerged recently. This is called arabinoxylin. And this particular fiber has also very unusual properties. It works and modifies your gut microbiome. And nowadays, we do know the gut microbiome is one of these machines. We weren't aware how much positive impact they have on our health. And we've just finished a study together with Evergreen on looking of the impact of these soluble arabinoxylin on the gut microbiome. And we could find that the positive bacteria in our gut were increased. So for your overall health, that means it really positively impacts on your product. So I think that's a good start.
I'd say so, yeah, absolutely. Now, Greg, at Evergreen, you say that your aim is to create the world's most sustainable protein through circularity. Now, circularity is a word that some of us have heard in relation to sort of farming issues and things like that, but perhaps not so much in the food ingredient industry. What does circularity mean to Evergreen?
Yeah, I think it's two things, Stefan. First is really utilizing everything that nature provides us, right? So when we talk about spent grain, right? And it's not spent, it's saved, right? When we capture it, we're saving it. And we're utilizing, you know, very natural processes like temperature and no harsh chemicals just to really, you know, basically capture those nutrients and then transform them into ingredients that can be used in great products like Take Two's plant-based milk. You know, the first aspect of circularity is using everything that you have, right? And so that's using all the nutrients and not just using certain portions of it, whether it be the protein or whether it be the fiber or the unsaturated fat. And, you know, also when you look at it from an operational standpoint, we are co-locating our facilities very close to a brewery where we can share energy, renewable energy. The excess heat given off from our operation is then utilized by the brewery. So there's some synergy in operations between the two. The other aspect is like looking upstream and downstream of our value chain. So going up to the seed, right? And looking, okay, hey, what are we doing there to make sure that like things like regenerative agriculture, that basically everything we're doing within an operation is a virtuous cycle that is contributing to a better planet, healthier consumers, as well as a healthier environment. So we look upstream and then we look downstream and we collaborate with great companies like Two to make sure that, you know, that the final product that's delivered to the consumer is the most or one of the most sustainable products in the world, right? And I think Jared can talk about this. Take Two's plant-based milk has like 90% less emissions than traditional dairy milk. So for me, that circularity is really kind of two things. Number one is utilizing all that you have. And number two is looking upstream and downstream to make sure that you're creating a virtuous cycle.
So, Jerick, we now have consumers who are much more savvy to issues around their food and the impact that it has on the environment. Do you think they understand the language that you're using, the upcycling, the circularity and reducing food waste? I mean, is everyone there now, do you think?
You know, everyone is not there yet. But even a few years ago, no one knew, you know, what the term upcycling meant. And now, because of different industries such as fashion, even transportation, I read an article this last week that BMW is envisioning creating an upcycled vehicle, electric vehicle. You know, as more and more companies realize that it's not just something that they can do, but that we all must do, this message and this idea of upcycling, of reimagining waste, of reimagining byproducts and transforming them into something beautiful is becoming more popular. And I think the neat thing is that consumers are really tuned in to recycling. And there is a connotation there. Oh, recycling, upcycling, is there a relation? And so it's really just leaning into that story and sharing the story of what Take Two is, and the fact that there are billions of pounds of spent grain going to waste at breweries all across the world, that instead of going to landfill or instead of going to feed livestock, can be sent upstream and used to feed humans in a really special way. I think, you know, more and more companies are entering this space. The Upcycled Food Association has made a big, big splash. And there's now an upcycled certificate that companies can get. So yeah, it's happening.
Yeah. Okay, so Jerick, you're at the front line of this. It's all very well coming up with the concept and saying something's possible and going through the science, but you are having to actually sell the products to people who have to actually buy them and part with their cash. Tell us a bit more about your plans to get this message out there through Take Two. You know, how do you go about it and what's next?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for us, we are really, you know, focused on telling the story and connecting with consumers in a heart-to-heart way. I think when you learn about the impact that Take Two has simply by choosing to drink barley milk, for example, if you consume 1 gallon of Take Two barley milk utilizing Greg's, you know, incredible upcycled protein, you're diverting hundreds of gallons of water from waste. And that statistic, I mean, in addition to the fact that instead of this amazing nutrient going to waste, going to landfill, it's also having an impact by conserving resources, water, land, electricity. Every single time someone chooses to utilize the barley milk in their latte, you know, their morning coffee that they have every single day, their choice literally helps the planet. And so we really are just focused on connecting with consumers, telling the story, and building that family and that community of people who are so passionately committed to realizing a better future. It's just such an exciting time because consumers are so tuned in to aligning with companies that are aligned with their own values when it comes to making sustainable choices, choices that impact our communities, that impact our health and the planet.
Fantastic. Okay. So, Greg, we've heard from Jerick about plant-based milk. Where else is it likely to crop up? Where are we going to find barley proteins and fibers in the future?
Yeah, so absolutely. You're going to find it in many different foods all across the grocery store. So higher protein, higher fiber pastas, higher protein, higher fiber breads, higher protein, higher fiber pizza crusts, right? Pot pies. In the UK, Nomad Foods has launched a higher protein, higher fiber pot pie. You'll see it in protein powders as well. So additional better tasting options. In the US, Garden of Life has launched a sustainable and complete protein with our ingredient. So you're going to see it, Stefan, in a lot of, all across the grocery store.
You're getting it out there.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Okay. Now, Elke, in terms of its function, what do these ingredients enable for formulators?
Yeah. I mean, I would just spend a tiny little bit on the milk side from a nutritional point of view. Obviously, it's great when something is sustainable, but it still has to taste good. And as a food scientist, also nutritionally, it has to be sound. And I recently did a review of all the plant milks which were available in the UK and in Ireland. And we published it. And actually, I got in a lot of trouble, got even lawyer's letter from some of the big companies, because the majority of the plant-based milks are sugar water. There is basically no protein in there, just 0.1% in a lot of them. You know, when you look at oat or rice milk. And when we started working with Greg and also Jerick, it was very important for us that we're not just using upcycled material, that we are addressing these nutritional deficiencies. A lot of people who are using these plant milks instead of your normal milk. We have to understand that milk, from a nutrient point of view, is complete, is perfect. And if you want to replace this, you have to do a good job on it. Now, the protein Greg's company supplies has a number of benefits which I haven't found in any other ingredient. And I do think, I firmly believe that that protein is the protein of the future, which will revolutionize the market. Now, it is a protein which is, from a nutritional point of view, it completes legume proteins. Pea is a big one on the market. Mm. But on its own, it's missing, and I'm sorry, now maybe about the science, it misses certain essential amino acids, especially the ones which are called sulfur-containing amino acids. So if you're combining plant proteins coming from pea or anything like that with, for example, this barley protein, you have the complete amino acid composition. So you can actually, from a nutritional point of view, replace the milk protein. Now, what Take Two has done as well, on top of being nutritionally sound, they've also increased the amount of protein significantly. So we are not talking, in this particular case, giving people a sugar water. For example, we are normally a cereal institute, but also my students want to have a bit of fun the odd time. So we made some ice cream out of it. And so anywhere where we use dairy, this particular protein can be used either in combination or alone to replace those, you know, any kind of dairy products. When you look, for example, now I just did a big review on alternative cheeses, vegan cheeses. You look, it's called a cheese. It shouldn't be called a cheese. It has no protein in it whatsoever. It's a pure starch carbohydrate gel. So this type of protein, which is naturally soluble, and that is also something which is very special. Most of the plant proteins are not soluble. But because it went through the brewing process, it is soluble. And also another thing is all these plant proteins, pea or you even have potato protein, they have an off flavor. And when you do product development, it's very hard to cover this off flavor very often. Yeah. Now, the plant protein we have here is neutral in flavor, so you don't need to cover it up. So it can be used in a more natural way. But EverPro does not only have this protein, which I said, you can use it in all kinds of replacement products. Mm. But what I would like to emphasize as well, there is a new movement. People do not want to give up their meat or their cheese. But there is those so-called hybrid products. Products where you have a sausage, which might still contain 30% meat, but the rest is plant protein. Yeah. So this way, you're having the impact on the environment is significantly reduced, but people still get that feeling. And proteins and also the fiber-based ingredients can be used for these hybrid approach, which probably might be more interesting for more people who are still would like to have their nice quality product. And also you can give, when you take a sausage, for example, you can give it an additional nutritional advantage. As I said, the Evergreen, they have three types of ingredients. There is the pure protein, and there is then these fiber-based ingredients. And if you introduce these fiber-based ingredients into those products, not only have you the sustainability, but you're also improving the nutrition, and you have a product which tastes identical. So obviously the plant replacing products, but you can also put it, we have as a cereal product development center, we have worked on pasta, we have worked on breads, we have worked on biscuits, on cakes, you name it, we have tried it, and it works extremely well. And because of the neutral flavor, we will find this in a lot more products, and in products you wouldn't think of. You know, there is a movement even in baby foods. We've developed in an EU project a baby food which was totally based on plant-based products. And having then something like the product we have here, which is totally soluble, or sports drinks, it lends itself. But as I said, it's not just the obvious one. It's hybrid products as well, which might be of interest in the future.
I think there's going to be a big industry for that in the future, isn't there? Now, this is a question really for both Greg and Jerick. Plant-based is obviously a huge movement for consumers and accelerating as we speak, driving innovation in the industry. How are Take Two and Evergreen elevating this movement and pushing things along? It must be an exciting time.
You know, the consumer today, you know, may go through their local store and may be disappointed by some of the plant-based products that are there, right? Sometimes it's actually quite hard to be vegan or vegetarian or even sometimes a flexitarian, right? And I think most people that I talk to, there's an aspiration to increase plant-based products, increase the consumption or the amount of plant-based products, but they're often disappointed in taste or nutrition or in sustainability. And so for me, I think the future looks like, you know, plant-based products have to have all three of those. And so we're working really, really closely with, you know, industry partners and great companies like Take-Two to get these revolutionary, innovative, superior tasting, superior nutrition, superior sustainability products to the consumer. Because I think that's how you really win and increase the plant-based movement.
Mm. And Jarek?
Yeah, I think Greg nailed it. You know, for us, we're just so passionate about this ingredient. And, you know, barley is sort of well known, but not really, you know, not in the US market. And so I think there's something really exciting about giving a face and some character to what this really unique ingredient is. And the fact that it's so sustainable, again, just going back to that consumer confidence and that consumer alignment in terms of values, like we're giving shoppers the opportunity to make, you know, choices around their food that impact the planet. It's really special. This ingredient is so unique. It hasn't been done before. And I think from that perspective, what Take-Two and Evergreen have the potential to do to really bring barley to the forefront, it's going to be great.
Okay. Now, we've talked about lots of different aspects of barley and the product that you're talking about, but I wonder which is the one thing, which is the thing that really excites people, what the thing that consumers really respond to. What's the X factor in the product?
I think it's taste. I think taste is the most important thing to the consumer, right? Shortly followed by nutrition. And what we've seen, Stefan, is you know, building on how we're accelerating the plant-based movement. Plant-based movement is largely reliant on few proteins and few fibers today, right? So like on the protein side, relying heavily on soy and heavily on pea. And as many nutritionists will tell you, like the, you know, plant proteins like pea and rice and barley itself do not have a complete amino acid. But when you put them together, right, we first see a great impact on sensory and taste. For example, pea and barley work really, really well together to create a superior tasting product. And then, as Elke mentioned earlier, it also completes the amino acids. So you're getting all 9 essential amino acids. So it's the same nutrition that you would expect in dairy. I think the third thing is it can be the amount of protein that you can have as well is also higher. So today, you know, you actually see, you know, many dairy like protein shakes and protein bars at higher amounts of protein per serving. So like you grab a protein shake, you might see, you know, 25, 30 or 35 grams of protein in a serving. It's very, very difficult to get that with using legume proteins today because of the viscosity. It becomes like almost like too thick. So when you include barley and pea together, for example, there's a synergistic effect to that in flavor, as well as the amount of protein that you can put in a serving. So you can give that same experience that many people want to have in dairy. You can provide that in a plant-based option.
Mm-hmm. And Elke, for you, you've mentioned about lots of different aspects of it, but what's the one thing that is most exciting about barley for you?
As I said, there is 3 ingredients, so I'm excited about different aspects of it. So
you're not allowed 3. You're not allowed 3. One.
Okay, I think it would be flavor as well, to have something which flavor and solubility from a protein point of view. Also, the other fiber-based ones, the flavor is very good. We've developed a high fiber, high protein bread, which is from a taste point of view, which has enormous amount of fiber and protein inside, but tastes very similar to white bread. And most of the consumers, they would like to eat high fiber diet, but it just doesn't taste well. So with this new ingredient, set of ingredients, we have the possibility, for example, we have a bread which has, probably means nothing to you, a volume of 5, which is hard to get even in a white bread. And we can achieve this while having these nutritional claims. And when you look from a industrial point of view, obviously flavor is number 1, but you do want as an industry, you want to put a health claim on your food product because high fiber, high protein sells. And it's very hard to achieve this with any other ingredient than what Evergreen is offering.
And Jerry, just one last thing from you as well. I mean, when you're thinking about the message to consumers, is it the taste, or is it that, you know, the concept that you were talking about, the sort of ancient grain and modern use of it? What's the thing that really resonates with consumers?
Yeah, taste, absolutely. It has to taste good. Otherwise, we won't eat it, right? We won't drink it.
Yeah. That's fair enough. Okay, and Greg, just lastly, Evergreen is just getting started. Looking ahead, can you give us some insight into what's up? What are you looking at for the near future?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it is like, you know, wow, you know, we have been working on this a long time. When you talk about, you know, big change, transformation, it does take some time, but we are still really, really early in our journey. We are working on some really, really exciting new products, including a meat alternative product, a better tasting plant-based burger, and a plant-based experience in the meat alternative space. And then working, increasing fiber in applications where it's really difficult to get fiber today. So as Elka mentioned, the Western diet is largely short of fiber, and we need additional occasions, different products. And so we've got an awesome soluble fiber coming in the pipeline.
I think that's particularly exciting. Lots of people do talk about protein, but as you say, it's not just protein, it's fiber as well. And that is, I think that's really exciting for me as well. Greg Bell, Jerick, Theo Lovie and Professor Elka Arendt, thank you so much for talking to us today. You've been listening to the Table Talk podcast brought to you by Food Matters, and this episode's been made in association with Evergreen. If you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from food security to lab-grown meat. Recent highlights include editions on food allergies and the agritech boom. Follow to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening.